Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come together and study your word. And Lord, pray that you would just bless our time together now. Speak to our hearts as we seek to understand what you have for us from your word today. Do pray for these that have special needs today. Pray for Mickey as he's had the flu, and just raise him up and bring him back to health, we pray. Think of Steve's mom, and she'll be moving to this area. Lord, pray that you just work out all the details, help that to go smoothly. For Shannon Davis, this unspoken request, Lord, you know the need there. For Joyce, as she has another chemo treatment, I think Tuesday, I pray that she would not have a reaction to it this time, and just give direction and wisdom there. For Sandy, as she goes to Vanderbilt, we pray that she'd get a good report. Lord, just continue to touch her and minister in her life. And for Jordan with this hunting accident, don't know the severity of it, but I pray that you touch him and give the doctors wisdom as they try to minister to him. For Nellie Ford, as she has this pacemaker put in, we pray that that would go smoothly. For Lynn, as he has these stents put in tomorrow, we pray that you would continue to help him in this process and not have any complications. And think of Naomi, she has a knee replacement Tuesday. Pray that would go well. And Lord, for Paisley, as they run tests, I think tomorrow and Tuesday, give them direction that they'll know what to do to stop these seizures. And then for Harry, as he has his surgery to remove this lymph node, we pray that that would go well on the 22nd. Lord, just minister to these folks and help them as only you can, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 3 this morning. We've been bouncing around a little bit. And Lord willing, probably get back to Thessalonians next week. But I want to give you one more lesson today. Philippians chapter 3. Once you find it, I want to give you a brief survey. And I want to do this very quickly. I'm going to give you some questions and four possible answers. And all those answers have point values. So you're going to have to add these points up in your head. All right? You ready for all this? All right, here we go. Number one, how often do you attend church? First answer is every time the doors are open. That's worth 5 points. Almost all the time, 4 points. When you feel like it, 2 points. When your husband or wife makes you, that's 1 point. All right? Second question, you got your points? Okay, keep it in your head. How often do you read your Bible? Every day, 5 points. Almost every day, 4 points. On Sundays, 2 points. When you know the pastor's coming to visit, that's only 1 point. Okay? Number three, now you're adding these points up, all right? You should have a point total. Number three, rate your prayer life. I pray daily, see the Lord answer prayers. That's worth 5. Pray when I have big problems. That's 4. Pray for meals is 2. And my main prayer is now I lay me down to sleep. That's worth 1, okay? Number four, and this one is the most difficult of all of them, rate your Christ-likeness. Now, all the other ones are events. That's a little different. Number one, I am like Christ all the time. That's only worth 5 points. It should be worth a whole lot more because no one's going to get that one. I'm constantly striving to be like Christ. That's worth 3 points. Every once in a while, I try to be like Christ, 1, and I never think about being like Christ is 0, okay? Well, how'd you do? Anybody get 20 points? Okay? The toughie is I'm like Christ all the time. And I wish I was. And 20. Okay. Well, I didn't want to say anything, Steve, but your wife is sitting by you saying, liar, there's no way. No. That's not really. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You are in the minority. That's okay. That's kind of why I explained that, because he has his doctorate in chemistry, not math. Okay, so you can understand that. Obviously, none of us are like Christ. The great news is, as a believer, there is a day you will be. And that's gonna be a wonderful day. But I want this morning to think about our spiritual condition and kind of just see where we are. And this is healthy from time to time. Now, if you do this all the time, you're going to drive yourself nuts. But I was just thinking this last week where I am spiritually and where I want to be spiritually. Now, your greatest problem is if you are content where you are spiritually. And we'll talk more about this as the lesson progresses. But when I thought about this, my mind went to Philippians chapter 3, because we have a man here who wrote this book who was probably one of the greatest Christians of all time. And he's going to do a spiritual survey in his own life. And he's going to make some conclusions, and we want to kind of go down that road this morning. So let's start by looking Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to start this morning at verse 13 by looking at Paul's reckoning. Paul's reckoning, if you're taking notes. And I want you to see the carefulness of his reckoning. Now, in Tennessee, we use that word reckon, don't we? How do we use it? Well, you just see two old guys and sitting on the porch in rocking chairs, don't you? And they got a piece of straw in their mouth. You reckon it's going to rain tomorrow, you know? Or I reckon it's going to be okay. And it's not really a well thought out, systematic conclusion. It's just something kind of off the top of their head. This is not the way Paul uses the word. When he talks about reckoning, it's an accounting term. Some of you are getting ready to do your taxes, and you may have an accountant do your taxes, and he's going to go through very carefully and look at all of your expenditures and all of your taxes, look at all the things that you can count off and all of that. He's going to be very, very careful. It can also be the idea of an inventory. Sometimes you may go in a store and you see a team of people doing inventory. And they have all their machines and they're madly typing in or scanning numbers and whatever. And they're being very, very careful to see what's there. And Paul says, look, I'm going to do an inventory of my spiritual life. And it's going to be a very careful inventory, not just a flippant, well, I'm okay. And as he does that, we want you to do the same thing. We want you to do a reckoning, a spiritual inventory, and I've already kind of mentioned what his inventory is about, but it's not a physical inventory. Typically, when we do inventory, what do? When we check up on ourselves, what are we checking up on? Our physical condition, right? You may have a yearly physical. You may say, you know what, or your doctor may say to you, you need to exercise more. You know, by the way, here's my program to lose weight. Here it is. You ready? This is free. Okay? Eat less, exercise more. Deep, isn't it? Sorry, Jen. I know that's not quite the Weight Watchers thing, but of course, the problem with all of that is what? Motivation, isn't it? Anyway, that's kind of my next point. But we're not talking here about a physical checkup. Several months ago, if you have a CDL, you have to have a DOT, or a physical. And so I went to get my DOT physical. I went to a new place over here in Boone's Creek. And I knew I was in trouble when I walked in. They said, you've got to pay cash. I thought that was a little odd. So I had to go to Ingles and buy an apple fritter so that I could use my debit card to get some cash. The apple fritter was great. Part of the physical is they check your hearing. Now, in the past, you know, these guys, they have a tone thing. You know, they put it in your ear, and when you hear the tone, this was totally different. This was very high tech. He kind of went over in the corner, and he said, and he said, did you hear what I said? I said, yeah, you said cat and dog. Then he crept over in this corner. And he said, car, truck. I said, yeah, you said car and truck. And he said, okay, you passed the hearing test. I said, you've got to be kidding. I didn't even laugh. You'd be shocked. I really had self-control. But it's not that kind of a physical test, okay? It is a spiritual checkup. It's a spiritual checkup. And Paul says, look, he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. What's he talking about? Well, he's going to tell us, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, I know it's morning and it's cold, but I want you to think a little bit this morning. That word apprehend, what does it mean? If you hear on the news report, the criminal was apprehended at 3 o'clock this morning at Locust and 12th Street, what are they saying? They caught him. They seized him. Now, he's saying, I want to see if I have apprehended or seized what Christ apprehended or seized me for. You with me so far? So here's the question. Why did Christ apprehend or seize you? Why did he pursue you and convict you? What is his purpose in all of salvation? Now you know this, we've talked about it before. Is it just so you'll go to heaven? No. Is it just so you can have your sins forgiven? Now that's all part of it. But why did Christ save you? Before you answer, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you may already know this, but we're going to see it in Scripture. Romans chapter 8. And verse 28. You know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his what? Purpose. Now, if you're thinking, your question is, what's the purpose? Well, the good news is he tells us the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, here it is, to be conformed to the image of his son. Why did Christ save you? What's the primary purpose? To make you like Christ. All right. So Paul is saying, I realize that I have not seized or become what Christ saved me for. What's he saying? I realize as I do my spiritual inventory that I have not arrived. I am not totally like Christ. Now, at this point in his life, Paul had been saved probably 30 years. He'd already been inspired to write many of the books of the Bible. And here this guy says, look, I realize that I have not arrived. Okay? He said, I have not achieved the purpose for which God saved me. And that is to be like Christ. Now, I want you to, for a moment, we've already kind of done this spiritual inventory a little bit, here, the introduction, but I want you to think about your spiritual life for just a moment, okay? Don't do this all the time. You will be discouraged and defeated and despondent, all right? But periodically, it is important. And if you were to talk about indicators about your walk with God, what kind of things are involved with our walk with God? Or what? Okay, praying is part of it, isn't it? We're talking to God. What else? Reading his word is part of it, undoubtedly. So here are two things. How about our obedience to what's in his word? Our attendance at church, is that part of walking with God? Sure, it should help you walk with God. Our Christ-likeness, all of those things deal with our walk with God. Let me just ask you for a moment, and you don't have to answer out loud. How are you doing with those things? How are you doing with those things? Now, the reason we talk about praying and answered prayer and Bible reading and church attendance are those are easy things to nail down, aren't they? Christ's likeness is a little tougher to nail down. But all of us know how much we go to church. All of us know how much we read God's word. All of us know how much we pray. We know those things. That's our walk with God. If you had to rate your walk with God on a scale of 1, a new believer who already knows anything about God, to 10, someone who is walking intimately with God and knows the power of God, where would you fall? Now, what about our work for God? What would that include? Witnessing. What else? Giving. Do you ever think about that as a work for God? You're exactly right. It's right here under B in my notes. Very good. Well, two, actually, parentheses, right? And then, really, the wide category of serving the Lord. And by the way, we think everybody who's a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church ought to have a service in the Lord, but you know what? That's not the only place to serve the Lord, is it? I mean, you ought to be serving the Lord everywhere you are. By the way, how did you do this last week with your servanthood? That's part of serving the Lord, isn't it? Being a servant. If you had to rate your service for God, now again, we all have different talents and different abilities, and I'll be honest with you, I think those who have greater talents, God expects more of. But how have you done with the abilities and opportunities that God has given to you? Now, Paul says, look, he said, I have not arrived. Now, if you're sitting here today and you're saying, you know what, Gary, I am satisfied with my walk with God. I don't need to grow at all. I'm satisfied with what I'm doing with God. I don't need to do any more, then you never will. You never will. The main reason that I've never been on a diet more than one day is because I've never been dissatisfied enough with who I am or what I look like. There's not much I can do about it anyway. I mean, that's how God made me, and it's just the way it is. To sacrifice and go on a diet. I did eat a salad yesterday. You'll be proud of me. And then I put croutons on it from Cracker Barrel, soaked in butter, and by the time I was done, I can make a salad unhealthy. It's a skill. It's a skill that some people have. Actually, it wasn't too bad, except for the croutons from Cracker Barrel. But it was good. I enjoyed it. We had some chicken that had been marinated, and I grilled it at 42 below outside and huddled by my grill while I was doing it. My wife made me do it. But, you know, you'll never change unless you see the need. Listen to F.B. Meyer. Self-dissatisfaction lies at the root of our noblest achievements. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, Gary, you know what? I'm happy the way I am spiritually. I don't need to make any changes. Then you might as well go to sleep for the rest of the lesson because I can't help you. This lesson won't help you. But as I examine my spiritual walk with God and my spiritual work for God, man, I'm not satisfied. I want to spend more time in the Word of God, not just reading. I'll be honest with you, for the last several years, I've not read through the Bible. I've been taking a book and just rereading the book and just camping out and just trying to find out what the words mean, what the passage means. And this year I've decided to go back to reading the Bible through. So every day I'm reading some in Genesis, some in the New Testament, some reading a psalm. And I'll just be honest with you, it has been a challenge because I still want to go through and find out what every verse means, what every word means. And that's hard to do when you're reading 4 or 5 chapters a day. So right now I'm behind. I've had a great start. So this afternoon I'll be reading in Genesis to catch up. I'm not content with my Bible reading and my Bible application. I'll be honest with you. I pray every day. But I want to pray more and I want to see God answer prayer more. My wife has so much more faith than I do. It's either she's highly spiritual or I am highly unspiritual, probably the latter. I just broke your thing there, Steve, that you built a long time ago. Yesterday I mentioned to her that my dad has been living with my brother the last several weeks. My dad got in a car accident and broke his hand, and it's quite a long story, but he's been living with him, and he said, you know, he said, I'm going to take some vacation. I've got 3 weeks of vacation. He's been working at this box factory now for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, and he just really wants out of there. And, of course, if Dad's living with him, that makes complications of different things. And he said, you know, he said, I'm going to take some time off early in January, February, and just try to find another job. And here's my wife's comment. Just put me to shame. She said, well, why didn't you tell me that? I would have been praying for him to get a new job. And I crawled underneath the bed and I thought, I'll be honest with you, there are times I don't have that kind of faith. Well, no wonder he doesn't have a new job. We haven't prayed for it. I want my witnessing to increase. And by the way, it is not our responsibility to see people saved, but it is our responsibility to give the gospel. And folks, I'm doing a poor job of that. I am handing out tracts, yes. I am trying to witness people's opportunity comes. But, oh, I could do so much better. I want to study more. And you say, amen, we want you to study more too. Are you satisfied with where you are spiritually, or can you think right now of some areas that you need to increase? Now, Paul said, look, I want you to know I've done some reckoning in my life, and I realize that I've not arrived. So secondly, he makes a resolution. So verse number one, we saw the reckoning. Number two, his resolution. And what is it? Well, you see it several times in this passage. In verse 13 again, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. We'll look at all this momentarily. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, look, I've got problems in my life spiritually. I've not arrived, and I'm going to make some changes in my Christian life. Now, my difficulty in this passage is verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And my question is, what's the prize? What's the prize that he's pressing toward? What do you think? What's the prize? Now, there is great differing opinion here. The Bible does talk about 5 different crowns in the Word of God. It could be that. It could be just hearing the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It could be just getting to heaven. Here's my opinion. And whenever I'm not sure, I'll give you my opinion. I think the prize is the same as the purpose, Christ-likeness. I think that's the prize. That's the thing he's striving for, to be like Christ. To be like Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you get to be like Christ? Well, if you are like Christ, you will have Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. What is that? The fruit of the Spirit. You'll have those things in your life, won't you? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Yeah, something like that, okay? Now, who is the supreme example of one who loved, who had joy, had long-suffering, and all of those things, gentleness, meekness? Christ. So, if we are to be Christ-like, we will have those things in our life. Those things are the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, to have the fruit of the Spirit, you must be, back up a step, well, you got to be in Christ, and you've got to be, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. How do you get controlled by the Spirit of God? I'm just kind of going backwards here so we know how to get there. You yield to Christ. How do you yield to Christ? How do you know what Christ wants? You do what? You die to self. You spend time in his word, don't you? So we've backed all the way up to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and it produces the same thing as being controlled by the Spirit of God, which is the same thing as being like Christ. So here's the process. We've talked about this before. You let the Spirit of God take the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. That's why we talk so much about getting in the Word. How can you be like Christ if you don't know what Christ was like? You say, Seaman, you guys always talk about spending time in the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God. So what? And by the way, again, it's not just reading. It's reading and understanding and applying. So it changes your life. And you get in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God says, you know what, buddy? There's a problem. And you die to self, and you say, yes, Lord, and you change. And you become more like Christ. That's the process. That's the prize. Now, look at the intensity of his resolution. Look at the singleness of thought. But this, what? One thing I do. Does that mean that's the only thing Paul did? Paul sat around all day long with his Bible or his scrolls and studied the Word of God all the time, didn't do anything else to try to be like Christ. No, we know he did something else. What did the Bible say he was by trade? A leather worker or a tent worker. We're not sure exactly which term that is. So he had to work too, but he said, this is the one thing I'm pursuing in my life. This is the most important thing. The thing that many of us have not even thought about this week, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much I thought about it until I started studying for this lesson, and that is to be like Christ. One thing, here is the primary thing. The main thing I'm doing is I'm trying to be like Christ. I'm getting rid of everything that keeps me from being like Christ. I'm doing everything I can to be like Christ. Wow, wouldn't it be great if we could all say that? This one thing I do, here it is in priority, be like Christ. Be like Christ. This is it. This is the main thing. And I tell you what, folks, here's a simple illustration. How many of you ever used a pressure washer? The churches, I used one recently. Who did I use? Must have been the churches. And they've got like five different nozzles. And some of the nozzles, they have a pretty good size hole. Or they have multiple holes. And you press it and you kind of get this shh thing, you know. And then they got this one, my favorite one. It's got a little tiny hole in the middle. And you press that baby, and it throws you back, you know. It's got some pressure to it, you know. And if you're not careful, you put holes in your vinyl siding with it, you know, if you get too close and leave it there. Why is there so much pressure there? It's got that little tiny hole, and it forces everything right through that little hole. Isn't that true of light, too? We have light here that's diffused. In fact, those are called diffusers. Spreads the light out. Well, that's kind of nice, and it gives light everywhere, but what you need is spiritually, you need to be like a laser, don't you? They take all that light, and they pack it in this little thing, and boy, it'll burn holes and stuff. And Paul said, this one thing I do. He said, here's my focus, and I guess maybe that's a good way to say it. And again, you take a magnifying glass, and you take the sun, which warms everything, and you probably shouldn't be doing this at your age, but you did it maybe as a child, and you would light things on fire with that magnifying glass as it focused the sun into a very strong beam. And Paul is saying, look, folks, you need to focus on one thing. One thing. Not pleasure, not possessions, not popularity, but pleasing Christ and being like Christ. Think how our lives would change if that was our focus. If that were our focus. And we said, you know what? The most important thing in my life is being like Christ. Why are great athletes great athletes? Because that's all they do. They eat in a certain way. They train in a certain way. They don't do a lot of things so they can compete. And look at the words that Paul uses here. In verse 12, he says, but I follow after. That word is to press forward. He says, I'm reaching forth. He's stretching out. The same word is used in verse 14 as verse 12. I press toward the mark. Can you see that runner in the race, 100-yard dash? Can you see that? And he gets in the blocks. And what does he do? Now, I've never run the 100-yard dash very quickly. But he's in the blocks, and every muscle of his body is just waiting for that gun to poof, and he's off. And what's he doing as he runs? Hi, John. Hi, Fred. Good to see you, right? I mean, every muscle, their arm movement, everything is fluidly moving toward that goal, striving for that goal. And what happens when they see the finish line? They stand up and take it easy at that point, right? Well, maybe in the first heats, but not in the last one. Man, they're stretching forward. Sometimes they're leaning so far forward they fall down, or they're losing control after the finish line. Why? Because everything is stretching toward that mark, pressing for the end. And that's what Paul did, folks. He said, that's what I'm doing in my Christian life. Straining every muscle toward the being like Christ. Can you imagine what our lives would be like if everything we did was straining toward the finish line, being like Christ? And then he gives us some more stuff here. Look at this, quickly. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things. At this point, some of you are saying, you know, Gary, I tried that once, and I failed. Or some of you are saying, oh, I've been there and done that. Yeah, I don't need to do that anymore. I've already succeeded, you know. I don't. Probably not many are saying that. Most of you are saying, boy, I tried to read my Bible through, or I tried to spend time with the Lord, or I tried to have a special time of prayer, and I failed, and forget it. I'm not going to do it anymore. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. David, you're a great example. Here's a farmer back here, does a lot of plowing, does fields and everything. When you're plowing a field, what are you doing? You're looking over here to see what your neighbor's doing. You're looking over here to see what's going on. Looking behind you. Oh, that's pretty good. Now, let me ask David, here's a very personal question. Put you on the spot. What would happen to your row, first row, if you decide to look behind you to see how the row's going? It will be crooked as all get out. What do you do to keep it straight? Keep those eyes forward. And you set a mark, and you go right toward that mark. And that's what Paul said to do, folks. He said, forgetting the things which are behind. They can't help you. They can only hurt you. And he said, I'm pressing forward. My eyes are straight forward to Christ and being like Christ. That's the goal. Nothing else. Don't get sidetracked, folks. Zero in. Boy, Paul says it well in Hebrews chapter 12, if he wrote Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Lay aside every weight. And the sin, two different things, which so easily besets us. And do what? Let us run with, your Bible says patience, but what does that word mean? Endurance. Run with endurance. You say, well, Gary, I can't do that. I'm running out of time very quickly here. But I've got great news for you. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You know what God wants to do in your life right now, Craig? He wants to give you the will to do what's right, and he wants to help you do what's right. That's what God wants to do. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward that you may always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Some time ago, probably years ago now, I saw the end of a ladies' triathlon. It was just a news clip. For those that don't know, many probably you do, a triathlon is swimming, biking, and running. The Ironman triathlon, something I will never do, they swim 2.4 miles, they run 112 miles, bike 112 miles, then they run 26.2 miles, a full marathon. Can you imagine? The end of this race, there were two ladies that were fighting for the finish, and they were physically exhausted. In fact, they got to the point, the finish line was maybe that wall, and they got to the point they couldn't even walk. And in this clip, it showed these two ladies, folks, down on their knees, hands and knees, crawling across the finish line and then collapsing. And that's what God wants us to do in our Christian life. In our pursuit of Christ's likeness. Now, what do you need to change in your Christian life right now? What is it in your Christian life that God has said, hey, this is keeping you from Christ-likeness? You need to do this to be more like Christ. What is it that God has said to you, boy, if you're going to be like Christ, this is going to have to change? Okay, are you willing to do it? With the Lord's help, will you do it? Will you make the needed changes? Or will we come to the end of 2000 or the beginning of 2016 and you be just like you were? By the way, you don't stay the same spiritually. You either regress or progress. Okay? Will you have progress in your Christian life? Will you be more like Christ at the end of this year than you are now? Now, if you do nothing, you won't be. But folks, we as believers, and my desire for my life is that I would press forward. Press on. Move forward. Straight ahead to be more like Christ. And let Christ change me from the inside out as I spend time in His Word and obey it as the Holy Spirit of God speaks to me and as I speak to Christ, that my walk with Christ would be better, would advance, that my work for Christ would advance. That's what Paul desired, and that needs to be our desire too. Yes, sir. Excuse me? You're exactly right. Good. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Well, food for thought. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our time together today. And boy, even as I've taught this lesson, you've convicted my heart, Lord, of not being single-minded in my desire for Christ's likeness. And I know, Lord, there are other things we have to do, but Lord, help us to focus, I pray, on Christ's likeness and do whatever it takes to be like Christ and get rid of whatever it takes to be like Christ. Lord, help us, I pray, to be motivated to change and to press on as the Apostle Paul did. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Lord bless you. Let's do it.